This morning's message coming from the book of 1 Timothy, 1st chapter, the 20th verse, 2 Timothy 4, chapter 14 through the 18th verse. And it's about people within the church who had been in the church, who had turned upon the Apostle Paul, who had changed for what they had did. And this is going to wind down our series of late on judging within the church. We looked at Zephaniah. All this was themed through Zephaniah. And we see where we have to have certain criteria to judge, and it's certain type judging that we need to do. The title of our message is Separating from Bad Influences in the Church. There's different ways that we have to separate from the people within the church or within our body. As you know, that what's going on in the nation, whatever's going on in the physical kind of reflects the spiritual a lot of times. The division that came about this week, and I've been watching, following on the news, a very significant development that the chief strategist Bannon was let go yesterday. That's going to cause a lot of problems. I think some of the newscasters were saying that's going to be a marketed separation. They had gotten together in that party, and now it's falling apart. They made vows and deals to one another. And as I was saying from our opening reading, the deacon had read 6th chapter, I think, Joshua, the 20th through the 22nd verse, where the children of Israel had made a deal with Rahab the harlot. Even though she's a prostitute or whatever, they had made a deal with her. And you make a deal with someone, you need to keep your deal. You need to keep the bargain that you make. You vow a vow. And a lot of people come into the church. They make vows to God. They get committed to the church, but then they excuse themselves. Why are they not keeping up with what they're supposed to be in the church? As you read the Word of God, that's the standard. That's what we're obligated to do, what's in the Word of God. That's why I minister the church and minister the Word of God, to let you know what is your responsibility, what you're supposed to be doing in the church. So the vows that you make, it's not to me. You're not making them to me. You're making them to God. You're going in a deal with God. If you don't uphold the deal with God, God casts you forth out of the body of Christ. He's judging his church. That's why it says judgment begins at the house of God. Unlike these politicians that I told you had separated, and there will be a war in between there. And as I've been constantly preaching and teaching to you throughout the years, that they talked about the Arab Spring and what's going on in those other nations. And I told you, this nation has to divide from within. It hadn't got bad yet. Charlottesville wasn't anything. It's going to get worse than that. This nation has to come completely apart. We're at the beginning of the end. And the church is right at the beginning of the end also. Judgment starts at the house of God. So you are in for it now. And a lot of people will be cast or driven out of the church who apostatized, who hadn't kept, and these are people, a lot of them are friends, and you go in and you make friends in the church, and there's different people in the church. You start off good, but then you turn against one another, because a lot of people are set in what they believe in. Any man don't stand for what he believe in, he'll fall for anything. Now, if he made a deal with the alt-right, if Trump made a deal with Bannon and everything, he backed up on that deal, that guy's going to stand up for what he's doing now. Bannon's going to stand up. You promise anybody anything, whether he's a devil or not, he's going to stand up for what you promised him. You made that deal, and your God, that's what happened to Zedekiah. He went back on a deal with Nebuchadnezzar, and Nebuchadnezzar came in and said, you swore by your God now that you was going to keep this deal. Well, if you swear by God to come in the church and you say you're going to do this for God and you're going to live a certain way, by goodness, you better live that certain way. You better ask God to help you live that way and have faith and trust in it and start denying yourself and the pleasures of this life. 1 Timothy 1 and 20, Paul talks, he says, let's start up at the 18th verse. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them might war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some have put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck. Concerning faith, they have made shipwreck. Of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I've delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. These guys had went in and blaspheming. They were working against what Paul had preached and taught. And see, a lot of people then came into this church. Just as I tell you, that party got together. Don't go into a church and join that church and join up with the church and then fight against what the church preaching or teaching. If you don't like it or whatever, first of all, make sure that's what you want to follow. That's what you're going to follow now. But if you get out, get out. But don't stand in there and fight against it. You're fighting against the God of that church, that God of that doctrine. There was an actress by the name of Lee Remick. She was in the Church of Scientology. And now she has a series. She's been documenting a series against that church. She left out the church and talked about brainwashing and what they were doing in that church, and talking against Tom Cruise and John Travolta and some other people that's in that church or whatever. Nobody made her get into that church. If she went in there, she went in there on her own accord. I don't make anyone join this church. That's why it says God's going to condemn sin in the flesh. That's why when you give the right hand of fellowship and a person's joining that church, that's free will. They want to come in. So as she got out, now she want to blaspheme them and talk about all they're doing. When you part ways, you need to part ways as friends with people. You need to part ways in the right way. Now she wants to expose all they were doing or whatever. I don't know if the president or Bannon or whatever go expose whatever one another told them. See, a lot of time people tell you things in confidence as friends. We talking and everything as friends. And then when we stop being friends or whatever, you want to turn on me. You want to tell everybody what I've said, all of my secrets and most important things that I reveal unto you. And the Bible tells you that's wrong. That is wrong. And that's how a lot of families and things break up. I hear sisters and brothers and mothers and fathers talking about their own kindred like dogs and always accusing them and saying this. That's your family member and you do that to them because of a wrong. What do you think? What do I think that you'll do to me if I turn on you? If you talk about your own flesh and blood, your own brother and sister, and you talk how bad they are, what do you think that person will talk about you when they fall out with you for? I'd beware of that person. If you slandering your mother, if you slandering your brother, I would be very weary of you. Teeth and tongue fall out, but you don't do and broadcast what's happening in the family, just like you don't broadcast and broadcast what's going on in the church. What's in your home stays in your home. So, he said, our reading scripture was 3 John, the 9th verse. He said, I wrote something to the church, but Diophantus, who loves to put himself first, does not accept what we say and refuses to recognize my authority. This was the Apostle Paul, the man who established churches. Now, this Diophantus, he organized the church under Paul. Paul helped establish the church or whatever, but now he's been got so high and mighty that the apostle can't tell him anything. It's like our children, our friends, a different people join a church, and after you're in there so long, now the pastor can't tell you everything. You know everything. You want to go back and tell your spouse or tell your friends or the people, he don't know what he's talking about. He don't believe in it. The thing is, you get out and get your mouth off the pastor. Get your mouth off the church. If you don't believe in it, go your way and leave that alone. But now he's been in church long enough, he can instruct the pastor. Your children get of a certain age, they don't want to listen at mom and daddy no more. So all of a sudden, they got more sense than their parents got. The parents are old fools or whatever and don't know what they're talking about. Well, it's best that you honor your parents. If you don't trust or believe what your parents say, get away from around them. But leave your mouth off of them, talking about them and condemning them and calling them names. It's best that y'all see one another as mother and father, brother, and leave it on those terms. Live as peaceable as possible with all people. It's best not to even say, well, yeah, I got a mother, whatever, but don't talk about your differences. You understand that? Yeah. We have to be careful what we're doing. That has to be purged out of us, making unions with people, and you go back to friends you were once friends with, you no longer can be friends with them no more because of a difference y'all had. That's why I told you a lot of times now, you see some husbands and wives after the divorce, they say they're better friends now than they was when they was divorced. Well, they just didn't get along as husband and wife. Lust came in the picture and we had a relationship or whatever. But see, that's why the spirit world, you don't base anything on lust and the feelings of the flesh. It's on principle. It's on a doctrine. It's on something what you really are. See, love wears out. The woman that you thought you had to have, that car you thought you had to have, that drink you had to, thought you had to have, that money you had to gamble off and spend off, after you done spent it, after you done lost it, after she done got big, after he done got all out of shape and everything, you might not want them anymore. You might not want that car anymore. You might be sorry you gambled the money away. A lot of them that missed the lottery the other night, they're going to jump on it now because it's even bigger. And then they're going to regret throwing that away. Vanity of vanities. Be careful now. Be careful how these things go. Because it's unsatiable lust. This is what the Bible, this is what the world is. The next scripture kind text that we're putting this in comes from 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, 14th through the 18th verse. Alexander the coppersmith did me great harm, but that is no concern of mine, for the Lord will repay him according to his works, according to his actions. Be on guard against him yourself, because he vigorously opposed our message. I'm going to have to harp on that one a while. Okay? At my first trial, no one supported me as an advocate or stood with me, but they all deserted me. May it not be accounted against them by God, but the Lord God stood by me and strengthened me and empowered me so that through the gospel message might be fully proclaimed and that all Gentiles might hear it. And I was rescued from the mouth of the lion. The Lord will rescue me from every evil assault, and he will bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. So I guess my first point is to be on sound doctrine. Sound doctrine. That's what had separated these two people. If we read in the book of Acts the 19th chapter, we don't use Hymenaeus here. We don't see Hymenaeus, but he opposed Paul too. But Acts the 19th chapter and the 33rd verse reads, Paul had went into the amphitheater and they was preaching and teaching and going on. And they drew Alexander out of the multitude, the Jews putting him forward. And Alexander beckoned with a hand and would have made his defense unto the people. But when they knew he was a Jew, all with one voice, about the space of 2 hours, cried out, "Great is Diana of the Ephesians." Alexander was a coppersmith. He was a metal worker. He made much money in that profession as a Jew. Paul was preaching in Ephesus. Demetrius also worked in metallurgic. In other words, he worked with metal. And in that part, they had a great goddess, Diana. And the people made money off selling images and idols and statues to Diana. as in the church today, as in with this political party and everything, the church drag all these people in, billionaires, multimillionaires, and that's what we did in the last election. We elected politicians and the church, evangelicals were behind them. 80% of the evangelicals backed this political party. A party of wealth, a party of money, just because they were quoting the scriptures and saying they loved God and that they were Christians. That's the worst thing to base something on, is what somebody say. What you say and do is two different things. And what you are. So what happened is, Alexander joined the church. And that's what's going on with a lot of these prosperity churches. And a lot of people love to join a church that's a large church, look like money is there, and making money is the focus. And that's what they, all the, everybody that runs a business or do anything now say that they're Christian. And the churches aren't preaching against sin. The churches aren't purging the people according to sound doctrine. The churches have become a meeting place. That's why Jesus said he was going to fight against the churches when he came. Because the churches had problems. Alexander joined the church. This was Alexander standing up for Paul and them while they was about to go in and the mob was about to get Paul. So he had become close to Paul and he did good things with Paul. It's a lot of people, it's people that have joined this church and friends of mine and everything. They're going to peace with the church or whatever, but like I say, it comes a point in time that they know more than I know. They know more than the people who have been in the church. These are people that's operating in the flesh. These people are not born again. They love the world and the things of the world. And he said, the one I told you I had to harp on that message, go back to that. Paul says, Alexander the coppersmith. That was the 16th verse, what it was. He says, 14th verse, Alexander the coppersmith did me great harm. The Lord will repay him. Now notice that the curse that he brings, he speaks on him. God's going to pay you back for what you did. It's God that's going to pay you back for the evil you've done to me. Because he didn't take it personally. Because it was against sound doctrine. It was against the message. It says, be on guard against him yourself. And that's why I warn you about the preachers and the teachers and the churches out there. Because every church person ain't saved. Every preacher's not saved. And you will bring judgment upon yourself by just listening naively at anybody and doing anything. He says, be on guard against him because he opposed our message. In other words, he liked it, parts of the message, but he didn't like the parts of the message that interfered with his money making. You know, some people might like what I'm preaching, but they don't like what if I preach against being drunk to the point of intoxication. They don't like if I come in and preach against fornication and adultery. Malachi, where we was last week, they didn't want him preach against robbing God. They want to be in the church, but they want to give what they want to give. It's their money. And they would say, well, look, God can get a little bit. Well, let me give God some change or something here, but not the folding money. They don't want you to preach on hatred. Vitriolin, the other week that this fighting, a lot of corporate CEOs, this is the world saying you can't preach hate. You didn't have any good people among these if they was preaching hatred. If they were preaching violence, and it's still a lot of churches that's with that group. God's judging the world. God's judging the church at this time for their actions, because action speaks louder than words. What you're doing or what you truly are, it's going to come out. So that's why he said that, because he was opposing the doctrine Paul was preaching. And if anybody opposes our doctrine, go back to the church you were in first and just leave us alone. Whatever you want to follow, you follow that. Whatever you believe in, that's what Bannon went back. He went back to where he was. He went back to his place, what he was preaching and teaching when they found him. If you don't like what this church is preaching, go to back to you where you was and go. You don't have to be in any church. What we preach against or whatever, this is the doctrine. So that's what the doctrine Paul was saying, and we must preach no other doctrine. 1 John 2:18 and 19. 1 John, 2nd chapter, verse 18 through the 19. Children, it is the last hour. We're living in the last days, the end of this age. And just as you heard that the Antichrist is coming, the one who will oppose Christ and attempt to replace him, even now, there are many Antichrists. In other words, there are many false teachers out there. They have appeared, they have come into the world, which confirm our belief that it is the last hour. We know that this is the end time because there are so many false messages and so much false doctrine out there. They went out from us, seeming as the first to be Christians, but they were not really of us, because if they were of us, a truly born again and spiritually transformed, for they would have been with us. They would have remained with us. They would have remained in this teaching and not went out to the fall. So it clearly shows that they wasn't a part of this church. She wasn't a part of what she says she was. Huh? Now, if a church grew to a point in the church divide, Paul and Barnabas and John Mark got into a discussion, an argument, because Paul said he wasn't going to take John Mark with him because John Mark had fled him in the heat of an evangelical meeting, a mission in which they started to have danger or whatever. Danger came upon him. He didn't pronounce a curse with Mark or curse anything on Mark. He just said he wasn't going to take Mark with him anymore. Sometime a church get to the point of a parent get to the point or whatever that you have to put your child out of the house or whatever. Not that he's not your child or whatever. It's just that now you're a man or you're a woman or whatever. It's time to go get your own apartment or house because you can't listen to me. Or God has put it so that you married. Now you need to go your way. Two grown people can't live in here making the same different decisions and everything. So we go part amicably and peaceably, in which Balaam said he was going to fight for this guy and he was going to stand up, that it was amicable. In other words, he said this was his decision. So I'm looking at that. That's good. That's all right. The part peacefully. Sometimes you tell your children, if you're about to get in an argument, it's best you leave or your child leave or whatever. Get away from around people. Don't start an argument. Don't get in the midst of an argument. Separate. The Spirit had to separate Barnabas and Saul. The Spirit said, Paul, you, Silas, go that way. John, Mark, you and Barnabas go that way. But later on, Paul said he needed Mark. Mark was profitable to him. So sometimes friends can't dwell together or whatever because they're different ideologies. That's why I was telling you about my son this morning. I think we had a difference on this or whatever, and he might not have understood. But I'll suffer loss for him to learn. I'll have to suffer that loss. Hopefully I don't. But we have to do or walk in certain ways. We have to follow the prompting of the Spirit of God. It's not in concrete. That's why you have to depend upon God in every decision you make and everything you do. Some of us so cold-hearted and unmerciful and everything. That's why you don't have any friends. That's why you and your relatives don't get along or whatever, because you're not flexible. You remember I was telling you about a bridge or something has to have flexibility? That it has to expand? Sometimes you have to have mercy. Sometimes you have to have sensitivity in things. You will have to take chances in life and trust God. You have to have faith in God. But we so cold and evil, friends don't come back over our house no more because of the way we talk to them or treat them. We're not willing to lose equipment. We're not willing to lose something that we cherish or whatever to save that friendship. You don't want to suffer that. You holler and talk to them like animals or something. You'll never be with anybody. Nothing will stay in your life. But when you oppose actually what a person believes in, when you go to attacking their God, when you go to attacking their belief system, you're attacking them in what they stand for. And any man, any woman shouldn't take that. We have to depart on that. But see, if there's a doctrinal error, as I was telling you, I don't think you should have fellowship with those of different doctrines. You understand what I'm saying? If you believe differently than I believe, we can't syncretize, or we can't bring those and homogenize and make them one. We can't blend all these different. That's why the evangelical effort is wrong. We can't all get along together. I heard one famous preacher, televangelist, he said, why don't all these little small churches, instead of having all the little small churches get together and have one big church in that area, he has one of the largest ministries. You're smiling, so you know who I'm talking about. Because what happens is criminal people like, let me not label him, but it's people like him that causes these problems, because that's not God, how God designed the ministry. Not for these large mega churches where you just a member. God designed this on a personal level.
Yes.
That's why it's so many different churches, because God made it for people to be where the shepherd know his sheep. The guy that said that, he don't know anybody from who he is. That's one of the reasons I told you I didn't like Steve Harvey with his foolishness, because I heard him telling one of his little things about, you expect the pastor to come see you, you in the hospital, and you think the pastor got time to see you, and say that the pastor too busy to do this. So, well, he don't know anything about church. And that's one thing about a lot of us blacks. We get there on television and thing and talk against the church and talk spiritual things and play with the church too much. When I got a member in the church and I don't have time to go by the hospital and see that member, I need to cut the flock down some. I need to get less members in my church. If I don't have time to go check on each and every sheep, they're the saint. But if this sheep here is a multimillionaire, I could go see him. They're partial. In other words, they can fool with their inner circle. They can bury certain people that's high up the hall. But if somebody down low, well, let the deacon go by and see him. Let this minister go by and see him. But that preacher, if they're his sheep, he should know his sheep, each and every one, by name. No other sheep is no important than any other sheep. That sheep that's a giant to just as important to that sheep that's a politician, a lawyer, a doctor. If you can go to the hospital to see one, you can go to the hospital to see the other. See, that's what happened. Alexander came in. He was a big moneymaker. See, he's got people with their names on the pew. They got parking lots. They talk about how much they have or whatever. But the person that's striving, the widow that's putting in her two mites or whatever, we fail to see that that widow is holding to tithe. In other words, that person is putting in 10% of their income. But that doctor, that lawyer or whatever, he may put in $4,000 or $5,000 a month, but he may be making $50,000 or $100,000 or $1,000,000. So he's putting in 2% or 3% of what he has, even though it looks like more. That's why Jesus said, this widow, she put in more than they all put in. Because she put in out of what she had, out of her necessities, whereas they put in out of their abundance. Just because you drive a certain car, live in a certain home, or do a certain thing, you're no more important than the next person. We all the same. That's what's wrong with this country. It's written, the Constitution is written. I believe that all men are created equal. Well, the reason they're fighting, the reason they're tearing statues down, if you wrote that, if you base your Constitution on that, how can you enslave another man and say that he's below you and that he's a slave? It seems like contradictory language. That's why it says that spirit will fall upon your sons and daughters. That's why the radicalization in this country. That's why you have, it wasn't black against white, it was white against white last week. You didn't see any black people in that Charleston thing hardly. It was those that said, no, this is wrong, and our forefathers and parents was wrong. It was them that said it was wrong. You have white people standing up for your rights more than a lot of the black people are doing. Just as the ones on the opposite side, and this is what your president said, in which it was true. It was the ones on the opposite side. If you read the paper, Chicago and everywhere else, it's the blacks killing more blacks than the whites killing. Why do they have larger churches? Why do they have more investment? Because they're paying their tithes and things to God. They believe in the gods that they serve, even if they're false gods. But you know what we do? We buy more lottery tickets. Tony's is full. They're spending their money on food stamp, welfare, and everything else. Seafood. They're living high on the hog. They're spending in everything. A lot of the churches, that's why the smaller churches and things are suffering, because you take your money and you pay it, put it on lottery tickets. You gamble it away. You want a brand new car. You buy Nikes and Air Jordans and all these fancy shoes for your kids and grandkids and everything. Oh, the church you're making. You throw a dollar in the church. You throw 50 cents in the church, but you'll go up there and pay $20 or $30 for a name brand. You'll go out and have a big dinner and thing. So, maybe the other side have a point in some of what they say. You have to listen at both sides. That's a prejudice within yourself if you're not listening and looking at what some of the other side is saying. You have to have balance here now. 2 John, the 10th verse. He says, for many deceivers are entered into the world, who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ had not God. He that abided in the doctrine of Christ, he had both the Father and the Son. If there come any up to you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. False. See, I'm talking with the church, with the community. I mean, what I know about. We talk about we love God and how much we love God. And you look in our communities, on Easter, the church is a pie. People believe in Christ because of Christmas and all this. And you know what's happening? That's because of the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. Those are pagan holidays. But you know why we listen, love Christmas? It's party time. Somebody gonna give us a gift, and they love to say Christmas gifts. They're looking at the money and the party. It's 4th of July. It's party time. That's the pleasures of the flesh. Well, why are you not in church the rest of the year? You pack it during Easter time. You got to go buy Easter shoes, Easter suits, and all this. If you have that doctrine, you should have that doctrine the whole year. If you believe in Christ, you should believe in him 24/7, as you said, 365. Not just on those two holidays. They don't have that doctrine. That's why you have to be careful of those in the church. I'm not talking about the world now. That's why I say, whatever they out there doing, that's them. We can get a bag of popcorn and sit back and watch the show. Because that's what we do, and we observe. But we do need to find out what's going on in the church. We do need to separate ourselves from those that say they believe in Jesus Christ, but all year long, they're not doing anything for God. They won't give God nothing. They won't give him their time. They'll come in there and throw a few dollars in there on Easter or some other time. But other than that, their money, their time is spent on self, and they want to talk to you about God. He said, don't listen to them. Don't let them in your home. These people are wasting your time. Alexander the coppersmith. He says, God's going to pay him for what he done to me. Because he was opposed to sound doctrine. So that's why he said that about Alexander the coppersmith. He opposed what we were saying. See, it's different. A guy called me the other day and he said, well, look, we can just talk. You can call me every once in a while. We can talk about that. I invited you to Bible study and everything. Now, you can't be no loose tag and we just talking Bible. When you see me and I see you, we talking this. But you don't belong to no church. But you espousing gospel and doctrine and all this. Well, what church do you belong to? You say you believe in God. You talking against Islam. You talking against these other people. Who are I? You don't know that scripture. Who am I to judge another man, Simon? If you was a real Christian, you would see or know that you don't supposed to be going around here judging people in Islam or any other religion. That's not your place. Judge ye not that you be not judged. But you can get in the church and find out, are you walking right? Let's get that beam out of our eyes first. Are we walking the right way? Yes, Lord. That's who to talk about us. Yeah. Not nobody else. We can point the finger easily, but when you point that one, four pointing back at you. Yes. Now, we see with Demas, he talks about Demas. In the book of Colossians, Timothy, the second chapter, and 4th through the 10th verse, Colossians 4th chapter, the 14th verse, and Philemon, the 24th verse. He talks about Demas. Demas, you remember I told you, was a silversmith. And in all those places I mentioned, you notice that he was with him in Luke and everything, going around preaching the gospel. Preaching. But you remember I told you Wednesday night that there were one that said, Satan says, if you would bow down and worship me, I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world.
Yes.
Demas was used to making money. It's hard. That's why it says it's hard for the rich to enter into the kingdom of God. People that love money, they don't mind coming to the church, but they don't want to part with their money. They don't. See, Demas was making money as a silversmith. He was making good money and he came to the church. Just like a lot of people, they come to the church because of the prosperity message. But if you give or you do this, you can receive tenfold. But see, he didn't want to suffer like Paul. He couldn't take the pressure of maybe his wife telling him, oh, we need to get drunk and spend all the money on seafood. We need to have a good time. We don't need to suffer this. We need to do all these things. He loved this present world. We need to buy a new car. The church can make it. What we need to do is be able to watch DirecTV. So we want to put all the money on cable this month. We don't put it in the church now. The church can make it without it. Because it's a lot of people giving the church. But we can go to church. You can go to church, but don't put your money there. We want the money at the house to where we can eat good and live good. It's those in the church. That's why I say you have to separate from these things. They're thinking about self. But just think about it. That's why I say, coming up, my daddy, my real father sometimes, he would own right close to Christmas, holidays a lot of times. He'd come buy a whole lot of, buy stuff and everything, sticking his chest out how good he's doing or whatever. But it was my stepfather there the rest of the year. It was my mother there working two or three jobs at Motel, Mets, Continental Motel, going out to Sherwood Park, working at these people's houses and everything. But he was sticking his chest out for the little bit, those two or three holidays of the beginning of the year when he do something for me. I observed this. I said, there's something wrong with him. They're where the problem lies. You can't buy my love. You can't buy what you're supposed to be doing. You're supposed to be doing this. You understand what I'm saying? So we have to be careful of that. But he loved it, the present world. He loved it chasing his women or whatever he was doing. He didn't stand there and suffer during the time when we were sick, during the time when we needed somebody to teach us, during the time. See, that's why God says a man and a woman should be together. You should need to be in your home. The money you spend in somewhere else, though you give to your children every once in a while, the money you spend over there, it all needs to come home. You less than an infidel, you're not giving to your own house. Well, that's been an infidel. You give the church a few dollars here, and give that church over there a few dollars. You sticking your chest out like you're doing something. You love to live like the world. That's what Paul said. Look at the 10th verse there of 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter. He says, Demas has deserted me because he loved the things of this life and has gone to Thessalonica. Huh? Did he say Demas? Notice he didn't cry. He didn't say the Lord's going to repay him for what he's done. He didn't say that. You remember I told you we had a member here? Very good tiger. You know, was one of the better tigers I've seen. That brother get his check. Beginning of that month, you know what he would do? He would throw in more than 10%. If he was making, say if he was getting $1,000, he'd put in 1,200, you know, 12%, 10%, 11%. He'd round up. You know, a lot of us like to round down and say, do we do it after taxes or before taxes? But he just right out the top. You see, but see, some people love this world more. So, I still love him. You understand what I'm saying? It wasn't a doctrinal issue. He wasn't fighting doctrine. There's one that came and helped with different things in the church or whatever. So there are people in the church and there are friends and things you have. They have weakens. They have weaknesses and failings that they need help to overcome. We all have addictions. We got some people may be scared of their husbands or scared of their wives or something. That's the reason they can't do anything. We shouldn't have a spirit of fear, but they are that way. There are some people with addictions, you know, have to have that drink. They have to have this. And so we understand that. And we pray for them or whatever. But see, they're not opposing us in doctrinal matters. See, when you oppose doctrinal matters, that's blasphemy. That's why Paul said God was going to repay him. He just, the only thing what he said by Demas, Demas was forsaking him. See, so Demas was still in the ministry. See, that's why I said many of preachers and Satan said, well, you can have the world. And what happened, they get deceived or they get lured off. Then some church, a mega church of this church that is not strong on preaching, strong doctrine, they're not purging you or cleansing you. They're not doing you any favor. Now, I'm not saying that Demas is not responsible for his own growth, that he should have grown and overcame as God wants us to be overcomers. But see, he was doing that many, and many go that broad way. In other words, they think works will save them. Even though he was preaching and getting large crowds, even though he was still in the church, he wasn't abiding in the doctrine of Christ by preaching the whole gospel, the whole counsel of God. See, at that day, they will be depending on their works to save them. They will say, well, didn't I do this in Jesus' name? Didn't I come to church all the time? Didn't I cast out devils? Didn't I feed the sick and the needy? He's going to say, yeah, but you didn't have fellowship with me. So you know what fellowship does? Fellowship purges you of all that stuff, those weight and sins that's holding you back from being a better person. It takes bitterness out of you because I can preach to you and chasten you with the word of God, and you take that, you pray to God, and you ask God to make you better and lose that because God is showing you your faults and failures where you are wrong at. But see, if we are like the ones I tell you come into the church and they excuse those things and say, forget that preacher, he's saying this and that, see, because you want to hold on to that sin. That's what's dragging you down. That's what's but see, it's so embedded in you, I'll never stop gambling. I'll never put that woman on the side away. I'll never stop doing this. I'll never stop doing these things. That's works of the flesh. You're trying to hold on, but God's word purges that out of you. It convicts you of sin. See, if your conscience is seared, though, see, that's why I say you hold on and quench the spirit and grieve the spirit. It's going to stop fighting you in those areas, and you will excuse it away. You will excuse it away. But long as that's tormenting you, long as you can't sleep at night because the spirit God's causing the person in the church. God's causing everywhere you go, somebody is saying these things and saying those things about you, to you. So I told you this morning, I didn't want to seem hypocritical. So I knew one thing. I wanted to hold on for myself. But I said, okay, son, go ahead on use it. You could come get it. Let me have faith to not be covetous, not to look out for my own self in this area. You understand what I'm saying? Let me just trust God that this is going to be okay. Even whatever happens out of there, it's going to all work together for good. I'm trusting God that even if it breaks or something happens, that God has a lesson in this. God has something I can prosper in that from. So, years ago, Jerry Lewis and Dean Martin made a whole lot of movies together. And Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis stopped making any movies together. They fell completely out. But do you know Dean Martin went to his grave and Jerry Lewis ain't far from it now? It's been about 15, 20 years, huh? Dean Martin been dead. But you know nobody ever knew why they fell out? Nobody knew why they parted ways. It's kind of like Bannon. Bannon didn't say anything. He said that everything was right. He would just go do better outside. He didn't go pointing the finger and say he did this or he did this. Now, that's just an illustration now of what I'm preaching on. Like I say, the world is out there. We in the world, so we can use that as illustrations. We seeing what's going on in the world. So I'm not judging on that. I'm calling your attention to that. We need to observe and see things that and bring our attention to it. Don't go hide your head in the hole and say, well, no, this and that, that. That's not wise. But he didn't broadcast their differences. A lot of people divorce or whatever, the husband don't go around pointing the finger at the wife. They just say, well, we had irreconcilable differences. We couldn't get along. We couldn't do this. But see, it's the person that go back and say, you know my brother, he's no good, this and that about him. You know my sister, she just ain't no good, this is how she is and that's how she is. Man, what is she doing to you to make you feel this way about him? Me and my brother, my sons and things were looking at this guy over in New Rose a year or two. There was two brothers and one shot the other over hamburger or something. What are you doing? You raised by wolves or something? You mean to tell me a hamburger bring you to the point to kill your brother? It's Cain and Abel all over again. You know, I've had disagreements with my children. I've had disagreements with people. But sometimes you have to forget and forgive. Don't you get on your knee and ask God to forgive you of your trespasses?
Yes.
And ask him to help you forgive others that have trespassed against you? That was Peter's problem. He said, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother? Seven times, Peter. You can't stop forgiving your brother and sister. When it get to the point when your brother is your enemy, when he get to that point when your parents your enemy, your wife your enemy, which one of these your enemy, you come out of the Old Testament at that time. You believe in God, but leave the Old Testament alone. Come into the New Testament time. You say you believe in Jesus. You believe in the grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus said, you know, it is written about this, about your enemy and the eye for eye. Too. He said, I say to you, this is what Jesus said. He said, I say unto you, love your enemies.
Yes.
If your brother didn't become your enemy, you love him. You pray for him. He didn't say put your mouth on him and talk about him and criticize. You pray for him and love him. If you want to do something right, do what Jesus tells you to do. He didn't give you no new commandment. Your mouth is what's called the words you say. All that judging and criticizing, the word that's power of life and death, that's why you can't get no further down the road than you are, because of the words coming out of your mouth. Steadfast and immovable in the faith. This is the last point here. I think I had 2 points this morning. You need to be steadfast. Oh, you say, yeah. Steadfast, immovable in the faith. Thus, truly born believers develop their faith to remain immovable in the faith. No matter what anybody else believe or say, they're not going to budge you in your faith if your faith is from God. The false teachers will try. But herein, Timothy tells us again, Paul tells us through 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, he says, now the Holy Spirit tells us clearly that in the last times, some will turn away from the true faith. They will follow deceptive spirits and teachings that come from demons. These people are hypocrites and liars, and their consciences are dead. You remember the first two churches, the churches in Revelations we talked about Wednesday night, and I told you that it says that you found them to be liars? That's what happened to when you go back into that denomination or back into that belief system in which I told you, if you don't believe this system, you go back into the system you were in or somewhere else, if you don't want to be this new creation in Christ Jesus. But see, they will depart. You will leave from the church your parents had. You will leave from this church or the other church because they're too stiff. They're old folk. They're not with the new breed. Those are the Antichrist churches you're going to. Those are the false churches. But the Bible is warning you, some's going to go to those places where you can put your mouth on anybody. See, that's the worst thing to do, is words. The power of life and death lie in the words we speak. We need to watch what we're saying. 11th verse, keep commanding and teaching these things. Let no one look down on you because of your age, your experience, or anything else. Be an example and set a pattern for believers in speech. In what you say, don't say things that can come back and be contradicted. That you changing what you say as they're doing with these political parties. They show this guy saying one thing this week, one thing next week. One thing Saturday, another thing Tuesday. One thing 5 years ago, but if it's true, you can, somebody could wake you up in the middle of the night. You could tell what you told before if you tell the truth. Amen. In conduct, your conduct, the actions, they display what you are and who you are. In love. And that's why I say you couldn't, if the protesters that were doing violence, all these things, violence, that's not in love. The Bible tells us live peaceably as possible with all men. He says, and in moral purity. And the problem is that they say this man and most of his followers have no morality. They're not morally stable. Their Christianity is not making them morally correct. Until I come, devote yourself to public reading of the scriptures, to preaching and to the teaching of sound doctrine, which is God's word. Do not neglect the spiritual gift within you, which was intentionally bestowed on you by the Holy Ghost through prophetic utterance. Practice and work hard on these things. Be absorbed in them, completely occupied in your ministry, so that your progress will be evident to all. Pay close attention to yourselves, not to everybody else. Pay close attention to yourself. Concentrate on your personal development. That's what God is trying to develop in us, our personal character. Heaven and earth shall pass away. All these people one day won't be anymore. But he's trying to develop your character. He's the author and the finisher of your faith. He says, for as you do this, and to teachings, preserving these things, hold on to them. For as you do this, you will ensure salvation both for yourselves and for those that hear you. So we need to do as the Apostle Peter says. We have to beware that there's many schemes and devices of the devil. We have to be aware that he's out there. It says, be sober, that's well-balanced and self-disciplined. Be alert and cautious at all times. Circumspect. Watch what you get involved in. Watch what you say. Watch what you're doing. That enemy of yours, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour, but resist him. Be firm in your faith. In other words, steadfast against those attacks. Rooted, established, and immovable. Knowing that the same experiences of suffering that are being experienced by your brothers and sisters throughout the world, you're not suffering by yourself. If you're suffering, that other guy is suffering. Just think. each person, God said, not paying dues, did he? By paying a tithe. In other words, it hurts that guy just as much if he's putting his 10% in the church as that widow that's putting her 10% in the church. Even though it might not be much as the other one, each one is paying a tithe, their 10%. So if you're paying 10% of $4 million, it hurts just as much as that guy that's paying 10% of $400,000. It hurts that person just as much as the person that's paying 10% of $4,000. Or that 10% of that person that's paying $40. But are you fair to your family? Your church family? If you're not paying 10%? Is it fair to everybody else? But see, it's not fairness to them. We're not looking at the fairness of them. We're looking at the fact that you robbed God and that you made a vow that this is what you was going to do. You're not doing what you told God you was going to do. How about your time? Are you studying God's word? Are you taking time in God's word? Are you... Sister April, the other day, she brought this guy in. This visitor we had the other day. Are you going out witnessing? Are you going out bringing people into the church? What are you doing when you leave here? Are you going home praying? If you can't get out and do anything else, are you sitting there praying for the pastor? Are you praying for the members of the church that's sick? Are you praying for the church growth? Are you praying for the things in the church? You can do something. God has appointed each member something, the ability to do something. So, the conclusion here. Preach the word. We have to all do the work of evangelists. And he charged him. He said, I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Jesus Christ, who is the judge, the living and the dead, at his appearing. Preach the word. Be ready when the time is right, even when it's not right. Keep your sense of urgency. Whether the opportunity seems favorable or unfavorable. If they hear it or want to hear it or not want to hear it. Whether convenient or inconvenient. Whether welcome or not. Well, I didn't want you to tell me the truth, but you told me the truth. Don't hide that light. Don't let anybody cause you to commit error. Don't be scared to tell your parents where this is. Don't be scared to tell your spouse. Don't be scared to tell your neighbor or someone else. Either you need to separate from that person. You need to separate. If you're afraid of them, call the police and just get away from them. Put out a restraining order or something. But if God had not given you a spirit of fear and you boldly can go where you want to go and associate who you want to associate with, my God is stronger. I don't hide from Jehovah's Witnesses. I don't hide from people because my God hadn't given me that spirit of fear. Yeah. And I can tell you about my God and what he can do. Now, we don't have to walk hand in hand because unless two agree, they can't walk together. So we need to be preaching the word. And that's how we go grow in God. That's how we judge and cause people to separate from us is the word of God. Because if they don't want to hear this doctrine, and if they have not this doctrine, we shouldn't be together anyhow. It says, correct those who err in doctrine or behavior. Warn those who sin. Exhort and encourage those who are growing towards spiritual maturity. With an inexhaustible patience and faithful teaching. For the time will come when people will not tolerate sound doctrine. And accurate instruction that challenges them with the truth. I told you about Christmas. I told you about Easter. Whether you want to accept it or not, I told you that. And I'm not going to keep telling you that. I don't keep telling that to my family. I don't keep telling that to my children. I've told you now, you can grow in and accept what you want to accept. That's not my problem now. But I have warned you. For time will come when people will not tolerate sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled with something pleasing, they will accumulate for themselves many different teachers, one after another, to to satisfy their own desires. Well, we don't have to listen to that guy's preaching that. We can turn on the television and hear this and still believe in God. So when he starts saying, well, we don't want it here, we can turn it over here and listen to this guy. We can just, whatever makes us feel good, we don't have to have nobody making us think about ourselves and feel bad. Why are you feeling bad? The gospel says, blessed is he that is not offended in me. If I throw a rock and it hits you, you need to straighten up. If something's crooked, it need to be straight. The only one that's bad is the one that is hidden. Contend for the faith. Jude was writing this. Jude wrote this. Where am I at? Jude, the third verse of Jude. Dear friends, I had been eagerly planning to write to you about the salvation we all share. But now I find that I must write about something else, urging you to defend the faith that God has entrusted once for all time to his holy people. I say this because some ungodly people have wormed their way into the churches, saying that God's marvelous grace allows us to live immoral lives. The condemnation of such people have been recorded long ago. So there are people, there are ministers, they had been ordained to this condemnation. They're in the churches. They will come in the church. God puts these people in the churches to prove you, to test you, whether you will do what he tells you to do or not, whether somebody else closer to you can lead you away from God. And if that can happen, God don't need you. If you love somebody else or anything else more than God, that's your God. That's your idol. Go with it. Go with it. Leave. You have to have faith and trust in God above anything else. So whatever it is that is first in your life, that's your God. That's how to separate. God's purging the church. He's going to turn you over to that which you love. He's going to turn that which is over in first in your life. And some of us will be turned over to a reprobate mind. Some of us will be turned over because we didn't accept and love God's truth. We didn't cherish his word. We're not going to have the ability to hear his word. He's going to send a famine, and he's going to put you around preachers and teachers that's not preaching the word. You're going to be in an apostatizer, and he's going to send such a delusion that you're going to believe that lie. And there are people, and they're going to fight about it this weekend and next weekend. They believe their teachings and preaching. They're drinking the Kool-Aid, the wine of fornication, the wine of the wrath of the world. They're listening at the world. So whether it's in Boston, Phoenix, California, or wherever it be, this is a mirror image of what's going on in the spiritual. There is a war going on. Now, whether you're scared or not, you have to fight in this war. You have to be on one side or another. You know, it's a lot of people that they cowardly. They cowardly. And you know, a coward died a million deaths because he wanted to choose to win inside, but he hopped from foot to foot. Nobody wants a coward in their ranks. Be man enough to stand up and go down with your call. Stand for something or you'll fall for anything. Man has to go down with the ship. Find something you believe in. Those wasn't cowards in the airplane that drove that plane in the building. I didn't say that they were right, but they believed in what they were doing. If you believe in what you're doing, no matter what it is, you will stand for it. And you don't go around judging other people's service. Can you stand for your faith? Are you contending for that faith? Because there'll be many of faiths out there. But are you contending for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints? That's the faith that I'm looking for. That faith that God had given his people that they can look up and declare, y'all going to? When Jesus was preaching the gospel, some say, this is a hard saying. You say, who can hear? And they left it. And he asked the apostles, are y'all going to? Stand in the word. Abide in God's word. Heavenly Father, as we come before you this day, Lord God, Strengthen us in your word and in your way, Lord God, that we would do that which is pleasing unto you.